listening to CASDA EdCast, where we explore issues and ideas of K-12 education and speak with teachers and administrators about their experiences serving the needs of students in our region.
All right, well, hello everybody, and welcome to CASDA EdCast. We're going to be talking today about collaborations and partnerships in this current environment of the COVID-19 pandemic. My name is Mike Piccirillo. I'm the executive director of CASDA, and our guest today is Mr. Jim Dexter, who is the superintendent, the district superintendent for the WSWHE BOCES. Welcome, Jim.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for being here with us today, and thanks for taking the time to talk with us about collaborations and partnerships. And I know certainly BOCES are integral to collaborations and partnerships of the districts that are within a BOCES. Can you talk a little bit about how BOCES kind of is positioned to do that kind of work?
Yeah, I'll always go back to what a BOCES is technically. And the purpose, and I still think it's as true today as when it was created in 1948. So basically, a BOCES is nothing but a cooperative of school districts. It's there. It was districts actually raised their hand and said, we want to belong to a BOCES. Now, when they were first created, of course, there were a lot more BOCES, but through the years, they were consolidated. But the purpose is still the same today. The district said, we need an organization that can support our work. And of course, we support the work of the districts in many different ways. Some of it is programs we offer to students. Some of it is staff development. Some of it is computer instructional technology. Some of it is management services. But in the end, it's created for the school, by the school districts, for the school districts. And that's why I think it's been a successful partner when it comes to collaboration, because that's what the school districts wanted it for. That's why they built it. We're not there to serve ourselves. We're there only to serve the interests of the districts, and that they put it together to serve their needs. And that's why I think it works well as a collaborator, because I think that's still as true today as it was back in 1948 when BOCES were first established by a statute.
I think you make a really good point about mutual interest, right? Because, I mean, you can certainly have several organizations that have a desire to collaborate, but do they have the same mutual interest? And if they can find the common ground, then certainly you can move forward with a partnership or a collaboration. But if you can't find that common ground of mutual interest, what needs are you trying to meet? What are you trying to accomplish? Then oftentimes those partnerships and collaborations may not necessarily work out. So I like that idea of mutual interest. I think that's important.
Yeah, and I think that's been critical to what we do. And I think the brilliance of the system that, you know, you may have larger districts who have more capacity in certain areas. Well, they don't have to necessarily belong to every program. So that means they don't have to buy into every program. Or you may have vice versa. There might be some programs that work for certain groups of districts, depending on their needs. And also, you may have things that work for all of the districts involved. And I think that was the brilliance of the system, because that mutual interest can depend on what the need is of a particular region or of those particular districts. As long as we have two more districts with a mutual interest and it fits the guidelines, it's set up so that those districts can collaborate and it doesn't necessarily affect the other ones.
Right. And so, you know, speaking of mutual interest, probably one of the main focal points of mutual interest right now amongst all school districts in New York State and probably in the United States is sustainability. Yeah. How do we sustain ourselves so that we can provide these important programs to the children and communities that we serve? And so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what's going on now with the diminished state aid and how you might see from your position and what conversation is going on out there about partnering and collaborating for the purposes of sustainability.
So I think your point about being state aid is changing. So as we all know, the initial numbers for this year's state aid was less than what was in the governor's budget, and likely we're going to see additional diminishing of services. And I think anytime you have a diminishing of services, you certainly have people trying to think about two things. First, how they can work together more efficiently, and two, wherever they can leverage any kind of aid that's available to them, how do they do that? And the BOCES fits in well with that, both of those metrics. So I think a couple things. The first thing is right now you see a lot of interest in, we see more interest in things like potentially shared business back offices. Now, we don't offer that ourselves. We offer that through another BOCES or two. We've heard some discussions about, gee, maybe some people want to look at that in the next few years. We have shared professional development. For example, right now, we have model schools coordinators or people in our instructional technology programs who work very effectively and who are quite good at delivering professional development on instructional technology. Well, that has really taken off since the pandemic. And I think in times of need, you're not going to see every district saying, well, we can afford somebody who's an instructional technologist. Because we know that because of what we've been doing, the role of instructional technology is going to change in school districts. And we're not in a spot where everyone's going to add somebody to do that work. And so we'll be able to combine some of those resources, combine the use of collaborate so that those resources can be used effectively. And I think we're going to see even more of that when it comes to professional development. What's one of the first things that districts sometimes have to eliminate when there's tough times is really take a look at the professional development budget. And knowing that the resources can be combined and people can still get some of the resources that they want, that's good. Of course, we have partnerships too. So we have partnerships with CASDA. One of the things I've learned about being BOCES is you don't have to be everything to everyone. So we have our strengths. We have our areas that we can really help our component school districts. But at the same time, there are skill sets and assets that other organizations have. And that's one of the nice things about BOCES, where we can collaborate with a group like CASDA and maybe offer some things through our organization that otherwise we wouldn't have been able to do. And those districts can leverage some of that state aid in certain cases to help offset some of those costs. And of course, on the instructional program, we're always going to have some of the same type of collaborations, even more so. So we know that there's certain groups of children who aren't always able to be educated in their school district. And rather than having a program in every district, that's why we have the shared special ed programs. And of course, from a cost-wise perspective, you're always going to have a shared career and technical education perspective, things like early college, high schools. So that the idea being that with any school district, if you have declining enrollment and you have declining budgets, it seems to me the way that you keep your district relevant is by offering the same things you would if you were a larger district. But there's no way you can do that independently, but by working with others and working through BOCES, it keeps your district viable and sustainable from a programmatic standpoint. Because I think there's two parts of sustainability. The first part is fiscal stability. Can you pay the bills? But the second part really is probably more important, the programmatic stability, mm-hmm. school district. If a school district can only offer the basic diploma, that's not really helping the children. That's not really setting them up for success. So working through the BOCES allows a lot more options. So you have that programmatic sustainability. And I think of the two things that are most important, you know, they both go hand in hand, but if you don't have programmatic stability,
sure,
I think you have to ask, you know, why should we be in the business?
Oh, I think your point is well taken. We have to have, I think fiscal sustainability certainly is critically important, obviously, to be able to operate as an entity, as a fiscal entity. And I think when I think about how that relates to program sustainability, I think about things like why do school districts seek shared services, for example? And one reason, I think, is to obviously minimize certain costs in order to then shift that savings to the program side in order to keep that program side sustainable. Can you talk about an example of where you've been involved as a BOCES with working with school districts in your BOCES in regards to like shared services or school districts getting together and talking about how they can better provide particular services, save some funds that way, and also, you know, divert those funds back towards program?
Yeah, I think you bring up an interesting point. And one of the things they probably didn't do a good enough job of of making before was that the whole idea of a BOCES wasn't just that it would serve the small school districts, that it would actually serve all districts. And so what was kind of fascinating and kind of the brilliance of the whole system when they put it together was that when they put in the aid formulas that support the sharing, they never said that districts who are larger or maybe how economically more sustainable or viable wouldn't have the same incentives. And so when you think about it, let's think about our career and technical education program where we have about 1,200 students. Certainly some of our large districts have or could have a certain number of their own career and technical education programs. But when they put that together, they realized that the small districts and the larger district would be better off and have better programs if all the districts had incentives to participate. So the idea that, so for the example, the district you used to lead, it wouldn't make sense from a regional perspective, not that that was considered a wealthy district, but a larger district. The idea was the state said, we want all districts to feel a part, they can be a part of a cooperative. So where does that come into play? So some of the things that we've been able to do as a region is several years ago, there was a feeling that we were missing the boat on certain groups of kids in certain industry sectors where our students could potentially be successful. And we also knew that we were missing the boat a little bit on sometimes where we could have college partnerships and industry-based skill sets. So the whole idea, once again, it's a cooperative school district, and some of the school district leaders came together and say, you know, if we were to design a program and think about how that program could look and what outcomes it would have, what would it be? And that's when we really started to put together what's now known as our early college, high school, and pre-tech program, which has grown substantially, that there was a need. And it wasn't just the smaller districts. It was all the districts saying, some of our kids need more opportunities. And I think that's the great part about the BOCES, because it wouldn't make sense for every district to try to replicate that in its own right. And so districts made a commitment to try to share that services, come up with standard outcomes. So, for example, that students would receive a dual enrollment college credit, that they'd have training and industry credentials in the actual trade or skill, that they would have internships and or job shadowing experiences or work-based learning experiences that would be relevant to that field, and that we would have a strong connection with business and industry. And so we put those together. We all worked together to put together the partnerships with the college, with the industry folks and the school districts, and that came out our program. And subsequently, then we were able to put in a PTEC program and collaborate, where in this case, it didn't make sense for the BOCES to do all of the elements of the PTEC program. And we knew we had the early college, so how could we feed the two together? And some of the school districts said, what if we took some of the pieces of the PTEC program? We had a common curriculum, so went through the BOCES, we worked out the common curriculum, common outcomes that we would have in the Project Lead the Way programs that lead to, and then the shared bridge experiences we put together, which were common experiences that students go together depending on no matter what district. Well, it started with three districts, and I think we're up to six or seven now who are planning PTEC programs and that feed into the early college, and those numbers have continued to grow every year. And then we added partnerships, because some districts said, well, you know, we can do certain things, for example, with IT technology, but we're not in a position where we can do a full Cisco networking program, or it may not be the best use of our resources to do that, but to have other courses that supplement some of the work. And so once again, it's an opportunity for districts to collaborate together and put together these programs. Then we sometimes it's going the other way. So, for example, Queensbury put in an international baccalaureate program. We don't have a regional international baccalaureate program, but some of the superintendents saw value that some students, this is a good approach for them to do. So we worked together and put together an opportunity to share a district's program with other school districts. We've done the same thing with enrichment programs, art programs, for example. We still have the literary journal, and you know, little small things that not everyone knows about and thinks about. But for those kids, it's really important. It probably wouldn't make sense for every district to put together a literary and art journal, but we do. It probably wouldn't make sense for every district to run their own Odyssey of the Mind competition, But regionally, we put it together and it benefits a lot of the kids seeing the spelling bee, and the list goes on and on. So it's only limited really by either state regulation or our imagination or what outcomes we think are good for kids. We also have after-school enrichment programs, summer enrichment programs. We're starting to expand some of those into the trades. So really, it's limited. And then I'm just going to add one other piece is that there's an additional outcome with the BOCES that people don't think about, which we have a very significant and growing adult program. And the reality is we have a lot of adults that are either underemployed and unemployed. And because we have the structure of the BOCES, it allows us, even though that the districts don't pay for the adults, it allows us to operate these adult programs at some scale and really make a significant difference with the livelihood, whether it's practical nursing, machine tool program. We now have we're growing like crazy in our welding adult programs. Our EC program is always full. And those they're taught a little different, but the idea is those students leave with a job. And we've been very fortunate to grow that program the last few years. So that's just a few examples of how districts have been able to work together with BOCES to do good things for kids and for their communities.
Yeah, what I liked about the examples that you gave is that I think often people, when they think about BOCES, they think about programs. They think about, a technical program, a CTE program. They don't think about BOCES as a facilitator. And what you described in many of those circumstances was where BOCES helped to create the flexibility and facilitated that flexibility for school districts to take advantage of opportunities when they felt it fit to their need, financial and programmatic, and to not necessarily have it as a black and white all or nothing, either you're in or you're out necessarily, but to create programs and facilitate that creation either at the BOCES site or in other school sites within the BOCES that allow for other school districts to take advantage of those opportunities and have their students take advantage of those opportunities. And I think that's something that people don't really always understand about BOCES is the facilitation role that BOCES plays.
The BOCES can be a powerful facilitator. It can work well or it can work poorly. It depends how you approach it. I think for a BOCES to come and say, here's what we want to do, districts, are you in? That doesn't work so well. But if you say to districts, talk to me about some of the things you want to accomplish for your students, and let's see if there's a pathway for us to put together a program that might make sense so that all of us have a say in the outcomes, that almost always works that way. Because it's really, it's a cooperative with school districts, and our job is to facilitate those collaborations and conversations between and amongst the school districts.
Right.
And hopefully we can add some value to them as well. And I think part of it too is the BOCES, because we have so many districts supporting, we're able to bring in some talented people who work for the BOCES. Not that the school districts don't have talented people, but we've been able to bring in some very talented people who I think are well respected by the districts, who are skilled and have the ability to lead some complex work with their professionals, lead some complex discussions.
That's great. Yeah, I really think that. You described it it's really kind of an organic kind of process in some respects.
And I can't speak for another BOCES, Mike, but at least I can only speak for what we try to do here. And the other thing that I think we've tried to do is never just focus on what we want to do with the kids or want to do in a program, but focus on, as a region, what are the outcomes? If our program is successful, what are the outcomes we would achieve if we're successful? And I know when I have conversations with the people I work with, we try to always think about that. Well, if rather than just what do we say we're going to do, and sounds nice, it sounds a lot better if we can achieve certain outcomes. So what are those outcomes that we want to achieve? And ultimately, BOCES has a business model, and good outcomes are good for a good business model.
Sure. Well, yeah, they go hand in hand, don't they? So we're really kind of talking about collaboration and partnerships within this current environment that we're living in to some degree, and this very uncertain future that we're looking toward. But we like to try to focus on things as opportunities. What opportunities, if any, do you think have been revealed as a result of the current situation that might enhance collaborations, that might enhance partnerships, provide opportunities for new and different partnerships?
Sure, and I'm not sure they've all been exposed yet because I think we're still in the reaction, but clearly we have seen more professional development by teachers who've never been involved in professional development with our staff prioritization of curriculum because it had to happen, on how to use instructional technology as it had to happen, on how to create on lesson plan design because people realize that their way that they've created lessons has been helpful for what they've done in the classroom, but may not always would have worked in an online environment. And also engaging students like never before, because just turning on a computer does not necessarily engage students, and it's not a lecture. It has to be a two-way conversation that is active. And also the use of software programs and media. We probably don't talk about that enough, but there's a lot of great programs out there that can engage students, measure student progress, and be very targeted to specific skills. And I know we've gotten more requests about, because we have the new Education Law 2D, we have had knocked out of the park the number of requests teachers have said to us, is this compliant? Is this compliant? You know, we might see five a year, five a quarter, whatever it is, we may see 500. So which makes me think that people are looking for resources. So what have we learned? Where can collaboration happen? First, people are less afraid of online collaboration. I think having that convening of central services where people can log in, I think we have seen growth in professional development and effective, fairly cost-effective professional development more than we've ever had before. And that's what we're going to need. And I think in the end, we're all going to use instructional technology a little bit different, or at least I certainly hope so. So I think instructional technology, professional development, curriculum resources, and software programming are areas that we've seen incredible growth in the last years. And we'll continue to see. I also think that because some of the districts are going to have some reduction of state aid, that they are going to try to hold together options for students outside their districts, because they may have fewer options available inside their district. So for example, sometimes districts would offer AP courses or advanced courses, maybe with only a few students. I'm not sure you're going to have those same type of students. Also, similarly with some of the enrichment, you may have some combining of grade levels at the elementary. So some districts may be looking for ways to either do traditional gifted and talented programs or enrichment programs, knowing that they have bigger class sizes, but they need to figure out some way to further differentiate the experiences that those kids are having. And then, of course, you know, we're going to still look at all the avenues we have for cost savings. You know, the districts share together in our health insurance consortium. They share together on how we do substitute services, all those things. And we're going to be looking for further, obviously looking for further savings and opportunities to be efficient with those type of services as well. But I think because there's going to be less money, what they value, they're only going to hold on to what they value, and they're going to have to figure out ways to do things differently, which might not just be every district has somebody who does X. That it might be, sometimes it may be the BOCES, sometimes not. But the fact is, sometimes districts are going to have to collaborate to find different ways to provide services to those students. Even like distance learning, I think we'll see a growth in distance learning for some of those lower enrollment courses, and also even things like some of the higher math, because districts just may not be able to offer everything like they used to. So I wouldn't be surprised if we saw another growth in distance learning in the next couple of years as well.
Yeah, and probably will look different than distance learning looked.
Oh yeah, it's not going to be just learning on computer. Right. It's really going to be a hybrid model between synchronous and asynchronous opportunities. And really, when you think about it, we've really opened up this window where we don't have to be in front of the teacher. The teacher can be much more of a guide of learning and provide resources and opportunities through this technology We've invested so much in this technology over the last 4 or 5 years. And really, this should just be the beginning of really rethinking sometimes how we teach class, how we teach. And because we've had so many, I know we've had, you should see the numbers of people enrolled in these. Sometimes it will be 600-700 people, you know? And we never had numbers like that before. But when, you know, necessity can sometimes be the mother of invention. And I know darn well there's a lot of teachers out there who sometimes were like, I don't know, am I able to do that or should I do that? Now that they've done it, they're like, you know what, I can do that and I can be a better teacher because of some of the skills I've learned. They're good teachers, they're going to be better teachers now because they're going to have more resources and opportunities available to reach students. And so if we do it right, you know, we can't just replace good quality instruction, we can't just replace brick and mortar, but I think if we do this right, and we really think about what our mission is, what outcomes we want to achieve, like you said, distance learning isn't just turning on the TV anymore. It really is that you can facilitate and guide students, particularly if you have small classes and you're combining them and you make it viable, but at the same time, they're still not huge numbers. You know, you can still do some great things with kids.
Excuse me. No doubt about it. I wanted to ask you one last question about equity. So this current situation, I think, has magnified an existing issue of equity, you know, equity in regards to reaching students in terms of this remote environment, equity in terms of equity from one school district to another in terms of funding, equity in terms of program and what programs kids have available to them from one district to another district. There's a lot of issues of equity that are certainly magnified by this crisis. Do you see, and what do you see out there in terms of ways in which the BOCES can help facilitate and school districts are looking to work on these issues of equity?
Yeah, you're right. What has happened so far, but more likely what's going to be happening in the next few years is really pointing out these enormous inequities that exist. Equity of opportunity, equity of outcomes. When you think about it, you know, some children, because wherever they're born and the district they live in, they have so many more opportunities than they might if they live somewhere else. I think there's a few things that help break that, but there's still a lot of work to be done. So the technology itself helps to break through some of the equity issues. So if I'm in a small school district and I'm able to log in and participate either through distance learning on a computer or through a traditional distance learning program, maybe enhanced by technology, at least that helps to break some of the equity issues. I also think actually some of the software products that we use at the elementary level, when districts are able to use that, can help differentiate learning within a classroom and also assess students on a more consistent basis and hopefully get them the assistance that they need to make sure they're on grade level, regardless of whether they're in a more wealthy district or a less wealthy district. I think software and technology can help break that. But there are holes. I mean, we have probably 24 to 2,500 children in the region who have no at-home internet. So although that's as far as what's happening in the pandemic, that's the immediate issue. Mm-hmm. Reality is if technology is becoming more of an educational need, then technology has to be like electricity, that all children, all families have an opportunity for internet at home, because we can't say we're going to use more technology, but it's only going to be for those kids who have it. And it's not always because kids don't have money. Sometimes it is, but a lot of times it's just where somebody lives. So I do think that technology and opportunities for regional courses, regional work can be equity. But I'm also going to go back to the kind of the brilliance of the formula. So just as we said earlier today, that some districts, no matter what their situation is, even if they're larger or they have more resources than other districts, still have not only the ability, but the incentive to belong to the cooperative. When those districts belong to the cooperative, it makes the programs better for all kids. Well, on the other side of it, you have these good programs because of the incentives that exist. And so if I'm a less wealthy district, a more poor district, I have more significant incentives back in aid to join these services and to be a part of it and to provide those services to my kids. So it doesn't solve all the issues, but actually BOCES aid, because it's based on wealth ratios, does exactly what we want it to do, that it provides incentives for everyone to participate so the quality of the programs are good. At the same time, provides more incentives for districts who serve more districts, more students in poverty, to be a part of the cooperative so that they're not just limited by what they can do in their own classroom, whether it's restricted by size or restricted by finances. And we see both. So I think the idea of having the programs can be helpful to solve equity issues, and so can the financial incentives that are involved in providing those programs. Both of those are really important. I can't right now go out and solve the technology issues. You know, we have to continue to advocate. But where we can do that, I think the technology itself will lead through all sorts of opportunities in the future to help dispel some of those equity issues.
Well said. Well, thank you for giving us insight to the work that you do at the BOCES and the way in which the BOCES not only meets the needs of school districts based on, in a lot of respects, their interests, but also facilitates the meeting of those needs in a variety of different ways. And we know that the BOCES is going to continue to be an integral part of the work that goes on in public education in the state, especially looking at the current and the and future concerns regarding budgets and other issues. So really appreciate your time, Jim, and thanks for sharing your thoughts today.
Yeah, and the last thing I just want to add, Mike, is which is interesting is. The whole idea of BOCES too, as well as being a cooperative, is that it's supposed to be able to change on a dime. That if districts have different needs, we can go there quickly. That is going to happen in the next 3 years, guaranteed. I can't tell you what they'll be right now, but I guarantee you this BOCES and BOCES across New York will be responding to different needs in the next 3 years. And that's a little bit of part of the brilliance of the system too, because each school is... There'll be needs that we haven't anticipated, and 2 years from now we'll be heavily into. And whatever those are, you know, we'll work together to get that work done.
Well, great. Well, keep doing the great work. Again, thanks to Jim Dexter, who's the district superintendent for WSWHE BOCES, for joining us today in our EdCast. And this particular EdCast will be in our May edition of our newsletter. So thank you again, Jim.
Welcome. It's a pleasure.